Heather, why don't you come up here a sec? This is one of the few times you'll see my wife, not because I don't like her, but because we live in Coquitlam and we attend and part of Westwood Alliance Church. And my wife is also deacon and responsible for small groups. And so, and what keeps you going and stuck with me for 46 years?
The Lord's grace.
The Lord's grace. Wow, what a good answer. So she's the secret behind what my ministry, and I give all the glory to the Lord to her. We were married in India 46 years ago. We have three children and six grandchildren. Anything else you want to say? No, that's it? Okay. Why don't you read the scripture then for us today?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, and with a train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood before him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying to me, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand."
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving me such a faithful partner in all these years. And we look back and we're so grateful for the years that you've blessed us around the world. And Lord, we pray that we'll keep on having your strength as we serve here in Vancouver Chinese Alliance. Thank you for the privilege of being here with God's people. And we pray for your word to penetrate our hearts. We pray for a fresh vision of God himself, of Jesus Christ, lifted high and mighty. Thank you for these precious songs we sang this morning. Thank you for the worship that has drawn us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning we're looking at, in many ways, we're looking at the beginning of a new year. September always marks the beginning of a new year for churches and for ministries like the one I'm with called International Student Ministries of Canada, because new opportunities, new challenges, new ministries in the church, Sunday school, Alpha program. We're finished with summer vacation. And so it begins we are at the beginning of this new year on this long weekend. The question this morning I ask you is, how will we serve this year? Will we be successful? Will we be serving in the right way or the wrong way? And so that's my question this morning for Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church and for myself. Met thousands of new students who will be coming from different parts of the world. And included in those students is my granddaughter, who just moved from this week from Calgary to Vancouver to Douglas College, freshman, 18 years old. She's going through great trauma, being the first time away from home and from her mother and father in Calgary. So we have been going through this experience with her for her adjustment, trying to see what, and then we understand what international students go through, because what she is, it's almost like she's left a, you know, her home, the end of the world, except her mother has been with her, but will be leaving in the next day or two. So this morning, I think this passage will help us to reflect on that being sent from Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 9. So the first slide this morning, that, by the way, I'm really blessed to have meet all of you and to get this opportunity to serve you, and I can only do it with God's grace and strength and with your support and prayers. And I'm pastor of evangelism, it's my title, but I'm not doing the evangelism for Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church. I've been doing evangelism for more than 50 years in missions, but I'm not doing it for you. I'm to be an example and from my experience to just pass on to you and to be a blessing and encouragement to you to be more effective and to make a greater impact for God. That's all my prayer is this morning. So the first slide is the donkey slide. Showing is better than telling. The farmer took his new helper around the farm. They looked at the chickens and the farm bins and the machines and the baby calves and the baby pigs. Oh, everything was so nice. Finally, the farmer led the helper to the place where he kept his mule. As they climbed closer to the mule reared back and kicked the new worker 10 foot into the air. As the new worker picked himself off the ground, he shouted at the old farmer, "Why didn't you tell me the mule would kick like that?" The old farmer smiled and said, "Showing is better than telling. Showing is better than telling." And the next slide is also showing is better than telling. There is yours truly at the age of 25, getting married to a beautiful girl, 21 years old, in India, by Brother Buck Singh. And she had the courage to go around the world, leave her comfort zone, and marry a guy she hardly knew except through letters. And 2,000 people attended that service in 1971. And that's my first wife, and she's still here. And who are beside them is my parents, who for 3 years ran, whenever I wrote a letter to Canada, and I wrote every week to my parents. Though that's not email, by the way. That's not Skype. This is letters. And every week I wrote to my parents about the people of India and about what I was doing. And every letter, my dad ran a pig farm, about 1,000 pigs. The price of pigs are going up. More pigs are coming. And that was the pig letters I got for 3 years. And I thought, oh God, my parents will never understand unless they see with their own eyes. Unless they see. And that's one reason I got married in India. I'm Dutch as well, so it's cheap. But no, B says this. And it was a test for my wife to see if this really was the woman God had for me. She said, yes, I'll come to India to marry you. Amazing story. How God brought us together. But it was in India my parents' lives were changed. We even took them on our honeymoon. We won't do that again. My mother was baptized 5 days later by Buck Singh. My parents never talked about the pig farm anymore. It was about India. It was about what God was doing in India. And my parents sold their farm early to become missionaries and for 8 years. And these were the people from Holland. Dutch people said, you can change, you can do this. We're from Holland. We are growing up this way. We'll die this way. Don't change us. Well, if God can change the Dutch, he can change the Chinese and anyone else. And I need that glass of water that I left in the pew there this morning. And so this morning, my deepest prayer is that we will experience in our hearts, not just acknowledge in our heads, but see a fresh vision of Jesus and who Jesus really is. It's only through this kind of vision, a vision of Jesus in us and filling us, your mind overflowing from your life, and then we can be really effective and make an impact for God. And you know, just before the next slide is showing also more than telling. Just in the last couple of weeks this summer, we've had so many students that have experienced for the first time Canadian experience like blueberry picking. 25 of them. And the students in our home this past week were from Japan. 3 of them were going back today or yesterday, but they were only here for 1 month. And I just ran into them in the coffee shop at Langara. And I said, have you been in a Canadian home? When are you going back? This week, we've only been here 1 month on this program. I said, well, you would like to come to our house? My wife is cooking Japanese food for another Japanese girl that's coming. Will you come too? Oh, of course we'll come. They didn't even know who I was, but they were on the SkyTrain in Coquitlam waiting for their food. They said, we miss Japanese food so much. We've been 4 months away, 4 weeks away from home. And my wife had a Japanese meal. What an impact that made in their house. And they had never heard the gospel before, but they left with Bibles and New Testaments. And the seed was planted. And look at that guy there. He's from India. And my wife cooks Indian food. She's an international cook. And you know, when he came to our home for the first time, I biked with him 25 kilometers this week along the Coquitlam Rivers. But Shubham, he's just almost there as a believer. His seed was planted in India when he went to a Christian school. But you know, the Indian food that my wife ate really touched him. Because he took four plates of food, and he took all the leftovers home with him. And it was just, and he was impacted, certainly, by the hospitality, food, and being invited in people's homes. By the way, I'm helping international students. And just a couple of days ago, a family that works as missionaries in Egypt, they're Egyptian Canadians. And they have worked 17 years with marginalized women in the streets of Cairo, 400 young girls they work with. Their two daughters need a place to live in this area or by UBC because their daughter is a freshman at UBC and their other daughter is in high school. They can live in one room. And I'm asking you, do you have a room or do you know someone who has a room? Because they need a place to live. Their parents are going back to Egypt. And they love, and they're doing amazing work there. And this will be a chance to get this church a little bit more cross-cultural. So pray about that and come and see me afterwards. They were going to come with me this morning, but they couldn't because of other engagements. So I love that song we sang, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And that really kept me going in many of my ups and downs and in my over 50 years of experience. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, because sometimes our eyes are focused not on Jesus. The first slide that we have on is the vision that Isaiah has. The next slide, and he experienced a fresh vision of God in chapter 6, verse 1. The question again, just for a moment, just quiet yourself, close your eyes and say, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of God? When you think of God, just for a moment, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, just think, what comes into your mind first when you think about God? That first song was really wonderful. I don't know how you guys picked those songs, Winnie. It was beautiful. Great, great God. Great God. Isaiah was already serving God. He was prophesying. He was praying. He was worshiping. And then his beloved king, Uzziah, died. This king had been ruler for 52 years. Can you imagine? 52 years. And this created a personal and national crisis because the next king that was going to come was not a good king. And the nations around them were planning to invade Judea. So the future of Judea was filled with uncertainty. He was going through a personal and national crisis. There was fear, there's confusion, there was uncertainty. And sometimes we need a crisis to wake us up. This had happened to me in the year 2000 in Kamloops when I lost my job. I thought I was secure in my job, and I lost my job, And I did not know what my future would consist of. And so that's where I caught a glimpse of God again and what God had in mind for us 17 years ago when he challenged me about the needs of the international students. And I have never looked back from that challenge that God gave me. And I had glimpses of God this week and the last couple of weeks with people who I attended three funerals. One was in total Cantonese in my church with for Mrs. Grace Chow. the pastor's wife of Wei, the wife of the pastor of Wei Feng from our church that had just come to serve God 2 or 3 months, and she got sick, and the next day she was gone. Just like that. And when I saw the songs that they were singing, which were translated from Cantonese, I saw the people's eyes, and people were tears in their eyes because the night before she had gone on a prayer walk praying for the city of Coquitlam and serving God right to the very end of her life. And one of those songs says, "You're my only joy and treasure on the earth. Giving everything to you is all I pray. Use my life to serve you truly every day. I'll hold your hands and give you all my praise. Let the whole world know your love and grace." As they sang those songs that morning, I was crying. I was weeping as I saw that the people's challenge of this couple that had given themselves in God's service. Again, I went to Cliff's funeral at Fraserlands on Monday, and I saw so many non-Christians, and I sat beside one of them that was Libby's maid of honor at her wedding. She's not a Christian, but I think she was impacted by that funeral. I saw Jesus. I saw it on her blog, how they have experienced Christ in new ways, even through what has happened in their lives. And yesterday I went to a funeral in Kelowna area, traveled 9 hours by myself, went through the fires from the United States that have come across the border into Manning Park. And again, I saw a couple that his wife passed away, but they would be the first people that would be going to Houston to help those people. They went to Alaska. They went with the Mennonite Disaster Service. They went to where people lose their homes and everything and earthquakes. The first people that would go would be Menno Unger and his wife. And they have supported me for many years from Kamloops, and she passed away. And I was at her funeral yesterday and was so touched again by the impact that they have made in our lives. I saw Christ in their lives. And so here we get just a few thoughts this morning on Isaiah's vision. We lose our focus sometimes. We get so centered on our church, our pastor, our friends, our abilities, our jobs, our gifts. We experience negative situations like failure, sickness, and loss. And then everything looks so dark. And we wonder if we keep going. I think Isaiah was probably at the point of quitting. You know, I don't think I'm seeing the results I am expecting. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I should just go back to my secular job. And what did Isaiah see? Let's look at a couple of things he saw. We read those verses this morning. He saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted. He saw God's power. He saw God's power. We saw the power of Hurricane Harvey, did we not? How it just devastated millions of people's lives. We saw power there. It's Jesus who's on the throne and exalted. Isaiah experienced this again in chapter 64, verse 2 and 3. "You came down to make your name known to your enemies. You caused the nations to quake before you, for when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you." Do you know Jesus Christ is an absolute authority of all that is taking place in the universe? Those fires, those storms, they're all voices of God calling out to us. I am God. I am God. Focus on me. Focus on me. In the power, God's power. Have you seen God's power recently? We've seen God's power when he changes people's lives. When he uses us to touch somebody else's life. Then he saw God's position, person and position. Jesus Christ is the greatest person in the universe. Colossians says, everything centers on him. Philippians 2 says, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He saw God's person. He saw God's position. Position. He was high. He was seated on the throne. That's Jesus that Isaiah is seeing. He's seen Isaiah. When Jesus is in the highest place and he's got that name and he's given us those promises, my future is sure, is secure. My hope is sure. His promises are good and true and will be fulfilled. It doesn't matter what's going to happen this coming year. God is in control. He's exalted. He's accomplished his work. And then he saw God's presence. He had an overwhelming, his presence just filled the temple. Every part of the temple was filled with God's presence. It was so real. Jesus says he'll never leave us or forsake us. So many times I've seen the protection of God in my life. Even as I travel across the city and I'm getting older, and sometimes my reaction is not as it should be, and especially when I go through a yellow light or a red light by accident. Has that ever happened to you? Or something else, and you say, wow, God really saved me in that corner or that situation. And then, you know, I've seen God's protection so many times. And then he saw God's holiness, God's purity. When the Bible describes heaven as scenes of people, the angels and people are dressed in white. Every picture is one of purity, holiness, no speck of sin or evil. R.C. Sproul says, if we long to be what God created us to be, we must focus our attention on the holiness of God. You know, when I went to China for the first time, I had lots of fears. Lots of fears, because I heard that Chinese people eat everything. And they don't know how to translate some of the stuff they're eating. So I don't know what I'm eating. But I had a song in Bible school that the teachers gave me, or my president, wherever he leads me, I will follow. So that was a good song, but the principal said the second verse goes like this: whatever he feeds me, I will swallow. Whatever he feeds me, I will swallow. So I sang that many times in China. And I also wondered if I was going to get caught with all my Bibles and videos I was taking to China, because I loaded up my suitcase. But here's a story from Eric Fellman, who was taking his first trip to China, a true story. But it happened back in 1986 when things people were starting to go to China for the first time. He says, years later, I had another taste of his holiness while in Hong Kong on my way to mainland China. A friend took me down a narrow alley to a second floor flat to meet a man recently released from prison in China. I knew I would be pressed to carry Bibles and literature on my trip, but I was hesitant and tried to mask my fear with rationalizations about legalities and other concerns. The man, a Chinese man in his 60s, opened the door. His smile was radiant, but his back was bent almost double. He led us to a sparsely furnished room. A Chinese woman about the same age came in to serve tea. As she lingered, I couldn't help notice how they touched and lovingly looked at each other. My staring apparently didn't go unnoticed, for soon they were both giggling. "What is it?" I asked my friend. "Oh, nothing," she said with a smile. "They just wanted to know, let you know it's okay. They're newlyweds." I learned they had been engaged in 1949 when he was a student in Nanjing Seminary. On the day of their wedding rehearsal, Chinese communists seized the seminary. They took the students for a hard labor prison. For the next 30 years, the bride-to-be was allowed one visit per year. Every time following those few minutes together, the man would be called to the warden's office. "You may go home with your bride," he said, "if you'll renounce Christianity." Year after year, the man replied with just one word: "No." I was stunned. How had he been able to stand the strain for so long, being denied his family, his marriage, and even his health? When I asked, he seemed astonished at my question. He replied, "With all that Jesus has done for me, how could I betray him?" The power of that holy life left its mark. The next day, I requested my suitcase be crammed with Bibles, and I determined not to lie about the materials. Yet I lost not one minute of sleep worrying about the consequences. And as God had planned, my suitcases were never opened. Yes, we can see also glimpses of God through people who served him faithfully. That man that married us, you saw that picture, he would get up at 4:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. You couldn't disturb him for the first 4 hours. He knew half the Bible almost by heart. Memorized almost the whole New Testament. He was a man of God, but was converted as an international student because someone took him in their home in Winnipeg, and he went back to India and started 6,000 churches. I lived with that man for 3 years. Many times I saw God. I saw pictures of God, and it encouraged me to keep pressing on. Well, just a couple more thoughts from this chapter. The next point is Isaiah then experience a fresh glimpse of himself. The Living Bible says, "My doom is sealed. I'm a foul-mouthed sinner, a member of a foul-mouthed race, and I've looked upon the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." In the previous chapter, Isaiah pronounces woes and judgments on other people. Now he says, woe is me. Woe is me. And when you catch a glimpse of God's holiness and God's majesty, what happens to you? What happens to you? Well, no one had to tell him how needy he was. What happened to Job when he saw, when he had a picture of God? What does he say? My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Peter says, when he saw the Lord in Luke chapter 5, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. And John in Revelation 1:17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And when you truly get a picture of God and Jesus, you begin to realize how sinful you are, as the lady who prayed this morning prayed for that. The next slide shows a little bit of some of that in our lives. Next, the first thing is contrition and confession. He previously thought maybe he was better than most of the people around him. But now Isaiah, in the sight of a holy God, sees that even his motives in serving God were impure. Service for God can be based on self-will, self-effort, self-glory. Next slide. You can see that, yes, we can even be in church this morning. And why are we here? To see our friends? Why are we serving in Sunday school? Because somebody asked us to? Somebody pressed our arm behind our back and forced us to serve God? Why am I working with international students still at the age of 72? You know, is it because I'm trying to make a good impression with you folks? You know, service from God can be we can have a lot of self in it. It can be focused on self. What do I get out of it? And so we need cleansing this morning if we're going to be effective for God. We need cleansing to see ourselves before a holy God. I need cleansing this morning. Unclean lips represent an unclean life. We want people to think well of us. We're men pleasers instead of God pleasers. We need to be cleansed before we can be sent. So may God cleanse us this morning, even as we take part in communion. Just realize how weak we are, how feeble we are, how sometimes full of self we are. Pleasures and having what we want and comfort has consumed us in the Western society. It even consumed the church. Isaiah heard God's call. We're coming toward the end of this passage then. He first gets cleansed. He says, I need this cleansing. And God says, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. You have that experience of cleansing. I've had to do that many times. Even with my marriage. I don't think my marriage would have stayed together if I hadn't asked for forgiveness, because at least once a year I make mistakes. You know? Sometimes even forget that I invited people to our home without telling her. This has happened that people showed up at the house and said, "Here, we're here for dinner," and I forgot to tell them they were coming. Pray for me, but we're still together. Praise God. She didn't divorce me. Praise Him. So what? He hears God's call. Look at Isaiah's hearing God's call, and God has never stopped calling. The voice of the Lord is saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? When you have an experience of His holiness, your own unworthiness, of His cleansing, you're ready to hear His call, because in His great work, there is a job for all of us. The big problem resides in our not able to hear God's call. The Spanish poet once said, if God were a man, He would be hoarse from calling. The call to world evangelism, missions, and evangelism comes to all believers, all of us. All of us. It's not just for pastors. To pray, to go, to give. Instead of us become God's chosen and cleansed people, we have become God's frozen people. Lord, here am I. Send my grandmother. Send my sister. Send someone else. It's not my job. What about, I challenge churches, these international students. I came to Fraserlands a year and a half ago, and I challenged them. I said, have you thought of international students? They never thought of it. They never thought of it. And after, when I left, they said, I think you've opened our eyes to the needs of international students. And now some of them, in fact, they're here. Some of them are here this morning. They have seen the love and the acceptance and the encouragement of, and it's become their family. And when I was in this church, I went through Norm's office, and I saw that in 1985, you guys had a couple of hundred international students here from Hong Kong. You ministered them. You impacted their lives. And so that's my challenge for us this morning. Why are we lacking God's workers and God's harvest? Why are we lacking? God is calling. Many are not listening. If they're listening, maybe they're responding like Jonah. They ran the other way. So there are three aspects to being sent. In my last few minutes, listen carefully before you respond. We're going to ask you to respond this morning. God didn't force Isaiah to respond. He just asked him, who's going to go? Who's going to be sent? He didn't force him. He didn't manipulate him. He just challenged him. God's message of, and so Isaiah would be sent. He's going to be involved in being, first of all, commissioned. We're commissioned by God, not by the church, not by somebody, organization. He's commissioned by God to bring God's message of judgment, hope, and comfort to a people going into exile. We too at Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church are commissioned to make disciples of all nations. His commission has never been rescinded. So often we look at numbers and decisions. Ask yourself, what kind of disciple are you? Are you willing to respond? The first part is commission. A few years ago, or a couple years ago, there's a young girl here this morning, Michelle, and she heard that commission. She heard that challenge, and she said, here am I, send me. And she's been coming to this church since July. I'd like Michelle just to share how she heard God's voice. Let's welcome Michelle this morning.
I want to talk about my experiences with International Student Ministries Canada, which also came out of me being an international student myself when I went to Australia a few years ago, and it came back. Now, I come from a Christian family, and my parents have always been involved with missions. But for me, missions meant, you know, packing up your bags for 2 weeks or three, and you go to some other country, usually like a third world country, and you do some stuff, and you hand up Bibles, and you come back home, and you share at church. When I came back from university, I really had no idea what to do with my life. And I had a mentor who called me, who, by the way, is an English pastor at the Montreal Chinese Grace Alliance Church, and he's from Africa. And he said, Michelle, why don't you consider international students? And in my mind, that I thought that just meant, you know, campus fellowships, kind of like, you know, Friday evening stuff you gather over some food and you share the gospel or whatever. And I thought about it, but he opened my eyes. And I realized that that was not what was holding me back. My biggest problem was that I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm totally not qualified to be doing whatever it is that God is calling me. When I struggled with my fears and doubts, I realized that God never calls the qualified. He qualifies the called. With this organization and with learning about the things of God, I don't think I've ever learned so much about what is going on in the world through serving. We want to think that doing missions means going out to another culture, to another country, to something that's totally foreign to us, when in fact the nations have come to Canada. These days, there's so many people, thousands and hundreds of people from all nations who are doing the work for us. They're learning about our culture, learning the English language. They're showing up at universities, kind of like what happened to our parents a generation ago. And yet, have they ever had anyone reach out to them and be their friends? Has anyone made them feel at home? Serving God means living a radical life for Jesus right here and right now with whatever you have. It is so much more than going to another country. It means that whatever you have and whatever you are doing, serve Him with all your might. In this way, you will know how blessed you are, how rich you are, and how much on fire God will put you on. God said, "Send us to all nations." That means our campuses, reaching out to people that are a little bit different from us, who might be a bit reluctant to reach out, who might not agree with our views, who might not have the same backgrounds we are, and yet they're God's family first. God did not call us to live a life of comfort. That's not what Jesus was dead for. Jesus died so that we can be adopted into a family. And just like we are adopted into God's family, will we not reach out to the people, to the international students, to those that have already stepped out of their own comfort zones so that they can be included in ours? Thank you.
And what did you do this week? Were you also at our home?
Oh, yes. Pastor Bert also invited me to his place, and we had an amazing sukiyaki dinner, which actually was also my first. So they had this hot pot, and I was thinking, where's the water?
And did the students enjoy it?
Oh, my goodness. They ate so much.
Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Talk to her afterwards. God brought her here. It was a couple of months ago that I met her here in this church. God led her to this church while she is here. She's actually from Toronto. But so it's really a blessing to have Michelle here today. Just a couple of more points in closing. First of all, there is commission. In being sent is a commission by God himself. The second one is commitment. You have to do something. It's going to take time. You might have to open your home to those two Egyptian girls that are looking for a place to live, but they will bless your socks off. You might have to open your home to have people come with food to your home. I'm hoping to bring some international students to the Alpha program in October here. That's my prayer. But then you have to include them and encourage them. And so commitment is not just a contribution. The hen and the pig were going for breakfast. They're having a good walk together. And the pig said, what should we have? And the hen said, we'd like to have ham and eggs. The pig was not so happy. Because for the chicken, it was just a contribution. But for the pig, it was going to be total dedication, commitment, ham and eggs. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. For materialistic Canadians, we will go if the benefits are good, if my friends are going too, if I get paid, if others go with me. If. The challenge today is commitment. Because Christ gave everything. And the last one is cost. Luke 14:33. When you look at our choices as Christians here, jobs, what car to buy, vacation planning, choosing a church, we look at the benefits. What do I get out of it? I know a fairly new Christian I met at SFU from mainland China. She became a Christian in Vancouver. Guess where she is today? She's working with Muslims in the heart of Turkey. I said, you know what could happen to you in Turkey? She says, I'm ready to die in Turkey for Jesus. I wonder what her parents are thinking when they send their daughter to America, Canada, for this education, and now she's ready to die in Turkey. That's where she is, with hundreds of people from mainland China, serving God. I was deeply challenged when I hear that. When did you hear the sermon on Luke 14:33? In the same way, any of you who did not give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. When did you last hear that sermon? If the Christian life doesn't cost you something, it's not worth very much. So if we're going to reach this world for Christ, if we're going to evangelize, it's not just trying to get people to come to this church and become members. We are going to have to become part of their lives. Relationship. Our church raised $70,000 Westwood Alliance to sponsor 3 families from Aleppo, Syria. Refugees that lost everything. One of those families is Muslim. 2 are Christian. One has just got their interview, so we hope that family comes soon. But this Muslim family had nothing. They lived 2 years in the refugee camps in Turkey. They're in Port Moody. And you know what happened? I was spent 2 days with him trying to help him learn how to drive. I have a Class 1 license, and he's filled his first test, and now he's filled his second test, and I'm trying to help him to learn how to drive. It's taken my time to do that. But you know what they did for us the other day, for 6 of us, including Pastor Larry and his wife and my wife and I? They cooked the biggest Middle Eastern food that I've ever experienced in their home. I've never seen so much Middle Eastern food on a table. They wanted to express thanks to us for what we have meant to them, because we have saved their lives and given them a new future. God will use you this year, but you first have to catch a vision of Jesus, of God. You have to kind of catch a vision of your own unworthiness. And then you got to hear Jesus speaking to you. He's speaking now. He's calling you now. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Even as you are praying, are you willing, like Isaiah? What does he do? He said, yes, I am willing to be God's instrument, not for 1 week, not for 1 year, but for the rest of his life. Rest of his life. He was willing to go anywhere, to do anything, and to reach anyone that God wanted him to touch. When you go on the in the SkyTrain, when you go on the buses, when you go to a coffee shop, do you look at the people around you? Jesus was moved with compassion. Are you willing to say yes? If you're willing to say yes to God this morning, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me this year to give my time to reach people, especially who are lost. Maybe someone that has come from Japan or Korea or China that needs God's love. Just simply raise your hand. Say, I'm willing. I'm willing to be sent. Just thank you. Just anyone, just raise your hand. I'm willing to be sent this morning. Across the street to the coffee shop. Raise your hand more. Just anyone else, just raise your hand. I will be sent. God is calling you. I will be sent. Just raise your hand. Thank you. I'm hearing God's call. God's commissioning. Whatever the cost, I will do it. Raise your hand last time. Anyone else? We're going to be singing a song, All to Jesus I Surrender. You can come up as preparation for communion this morning. And if you have raised your hand this morning, as we go for coffee later on, I just this week received a box of books by George Verver, the last book he wrote called Messiology. And this, he's 76, he's the founder of Operation Mobilization, 77 years old. He is the one that impacted my life the most for God. And he prays for me and sent me this box of books. And anyone who heard God's voice this morning and just wants to grow in your area, the last chapter and the first chapter are worth the whole book. Putting your head to your heart to your feet, the last chapter. That book will be available for as many, as long as it's available in the coffee area after the service. God, seal this commitment as we sing this song, All to You I Surrender. Lord, that worldly pleasures will be forsaken so that we can be effective as a church and as families and individuals to reach a lost world. We thank you for Michelle's testimony. We thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We close with these words from Hebrews. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. And God's people said, amen.